Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're on Facebook and YouTube, live video streaming and posting the stories that we're talking about. You can find them there yourself just go Today's Issues Facebook page or YouTube, as I said earlier. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Steve Purple Shirt Jordan.
You can call me Barney if you like.
Okay, Steve's with us.
The big old grape.
Steve Jordahl, I've teased you about
Not sour grape.
I've teased you. The purple's also the color of royalty, right?
It is.
Yes, it is.
I think that's what we're going to go with today.
Okay. What do you got, Steve?
Oh, man. Let's just I've got a couple current events or breaking kind of news things that we can hit and move on if you like. The first one is, you may have read this, we have nearly two dozen paratroopers, Army paratroopers, who were injured while conducting a training exercise here in Mississippi last night, jumping from a C-30 aircraft somewhere not too far from, down in the southern part of the state. A gust of wind blew them into a bunch of pine trees, and 24 were injured, taken to the hospitals, and
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
They're still going pretty fast when they are parachuting. So, because some people might think, well, don't you just gently drift down?
Yeah, no.
No, I think it's like jumping off a two-story tower.
Wow.
When you hit. That's the speed you're going, even with a parachute. I believe that's true.
Would that be the same if it was a recreational parachute, you know, the kind with the canopy, as opposed to these are the guys that jump out and have the
halo,
line.
Well, high altitude, low?
No. Open. No, these are the ones that look like World War II parachutes. They're just the round parachutes, and when they jump out of the plane, you know, you see the cord hanging out the plane door as
right.
They're going down, as opposed to like the skydivers at the ball game where they're drifting
themselves. Oh, yeah, no. I don't know. I'm okay. Just saying, I just...
You brought it up. I thought you knew.
Well, now you've cornered me.
No, I didn't mean
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I think I just... It's just one of those things that rattled around in the back
yeah,
of my head. I'm going to look it up now, but...
Okay.
Now that you...
The other thing is, this morning in Paris, they had a knife attack. Four police officers have died. They were attacked...
Really?
Yeah. They were attacked at their headquarters on the Ile de la Cité, which is the same... It was mere blocks from Notre Dame, the burned-out carcass of Notre Dame Cathedral. And so this is a man attacked these police with a ceramic knife, stabbing several of his colleagues. Police sources told the French media that the assailant was in conflict with his superiors, and it is not being treated as a terror incident. A fifth person has been hospitalized in critical condition. I actually knew somebody who worked at this very building years ago. So a knife attack in France, no doubt we will be calling for knife control over there.
So it was a police officer who did the attacking.
It was a worker at the Ministry of Police. I don't think it was an officer.
Okay.
It was a clerical person, I think.
So that does not sound like a terrorist act.
They're saying he was in conflict with his superiors.
Right. Domestic, not domestic.
Right.
A workplace dispute.
Yes.
So to speak.
Yes, that's what it's looking like. Chad Pergram, the excellent Fox News reporter on Capitol Hill, is reporting on a letter that House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has sent to Nancy Pelosi, who, as you know, is conducting this impeachment inquiry, whatever that is. According to Chad Pergram, the letter goes something like this: I am writing to request you suspend all efforts surrounding your, quote, impeachment inquiry until transparent and equitable rules and procedures are established to govern the inquiry. As is customary, the swiftness and recklessness with which you have proceeded has already resulted in the committee chairs attempting to limit minority participation in scheduled interviews, calling into question the integrity of such an inquiry. Quote, do you intend to grant co-equal subpoena power to both chair and ranking member of the committee level? Do you intend to require that all subpoenas be subject to a vote of the full committee? at the request of either the chair or the ranking member? And finally, do you intend to provide the president's counsel the right to attend all hearings and depositions? Do you intend to provide the president's counsel the right to present evidence, which is, we have said, they're not doing. So Kevin McCarthy is kind of pushing back.
Well, and that's good, and that's absolutely necessary. Again, I have grave doubts that the American people will hear very much about these kinds of requests so that they can judge for themselves whether this is an impartial hearing or a witch hunt. I think we all know what it is. So we'll wait and see. I'll tell you what, I'm willing to give Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, the opportunity to answer these questions before I condemn her utterly.
Nancy has been, she is animal politician. She is political to the core, but she has also been kind of the halfway point between we don't want to impeach and the radical liberal mob in her caucus that do want to impeach. She's been trying to pull on the reins. And so that's why I think this impeachment inquiry, which is really nothing, it's not a legal thing, is where she landed in the middle. So she didn't have to actually launch an impeachment trial.
Yeah, but if she doesn't go to the mat, it looks she never should have done this halfway measure.
Well,
to her own base.
Now let me follow up on that question. So, are you saying that the House Democrats could just simply draft articles of impeachment and then have the House vote without any kind of inquiry evidence?
If they have a vote, then they have to start the process of gathering the evidence. I read this morning that what could happen is that the House could vote to censure the president instead of impeach, which would be a middle ground. What I'm saying is that I think Nancy Pelosi sees the writing on the wall, that if they really go full bore into impeachment, or even if they keep on this impeachment inquiry thing, it's bad news for Democrats in 2020. Her political animal side knows what's going to happen. And so she's trying to hold it together. If she just gave in, Tim, to your point, to the base, she might put her speakership in peril. They might find somebody.
This could end her career. If this is handled badly and backfires and the American people turn against her and see her as the instigator of this or whatever, or part of the cabal that instigates this, it could end her career. Which is probably why she's been cautious
She is savvy. A savvy politician. I want to go to the UK. This is really, really troubling to me. We have talked before about this doctor, a Christian doctor over there named David McAreth. He was fired for refusing to use transgender patients' preferred pronouns, instead calling them by their name. The name that they choose. So if John came in and said he was Anne, he'd call them Anne, he'd call them Anne, but he wouldn't call them a she because that violated his, he figured he was telling a lie. Well, just yesterday, a court in England upheld his firing. And I want to read to you what the ruling said, because this is, to me, stunning and scary. The ruling, the judge said in the ruling, belief in Genesis 1:27, that's the verse that said God created the man and woman, belief in Genesis 1:27, lack of belief in transgenderism and conscientious objection to transgenderism, in our judgment, are incompatible with human dignity and conflict with the fundamental rights of others. Let me just shorten that up. Belief in Genesis 1:27 is incompatible with human dignity. Now, she didn't just say you can't believe in transgender.
What was her position? This is a
judge.
A judge
that upheld the firing of this doctor.
Now, is this something that can be appealed? Not that there's much hope here, but like to the UN Court of Human Rights or something
like
that?
Yeah, I got a lot of faith in them.
Well, I'm saying,
I like that idea.
Is there?
Let's go all the way.
I deserve that. Well, but some sort of appeals process.
There is an appeals process, and this article that I have doesn't specify whether it's to, like, The Hague or whether it's there's a, like, a hierarchical system within Britain. This is the lowest court. I don't know. It just says McAreth said he will be appealing the decision to a higher authority, and I'm assuming he doesn't mean God.
Right.
Although he's probably appealing to him as
well. But I will say this. If it wasn't for our very strong, much stronger First Amendment protections in this country than you have in the UK, and certainly than you have in the EU, That's exactly the kind of thing we'd be getting in this country in terms of rulings.
So let me get this straight. So you have, and hopefully this doesn't come to the U.S., but for the reasons Ed mentioned, I think we've got a better shot at stopping this kind of, what would you call it, verbal tyranny?
Yeah.
You know, so you have a doctor treating a patient. The patient is a biological male, right? Mm-hmm. But the patient wants to identify as a woman, right? So the doctor says, "I'm not." You know, I don't know if he told her that. I mean, him that I'm not going to call you, you know, a woman, but I'll call you by your name.
Right.
I don't know if he even told her that, but he called him by his name.
Right. His name is a woman's name. It was legally changed. So
okay, so he called whatever he could, Jan.
Right.
Whatever he called him. But so you're saying that wasn't good enough.
No.
That they wanted to compel him, or they did compel him, or he lost his case.
He lost his job and then the case.
Because he didn't call her him a her.
No, I think he made some statements around the time of his firing that he just couldn't do that. So let me just read you. I'll read you his response. "Without intellectual and moral integrity, medicine cannot function, and my 30 years as a doctor are now considered irrelevant compared to the risk that someone else may be offended. I believe that I have to appeal in order to fight for the freedom of Christians to speak the truth. If they cannot, then freedom of speech has died in this country with serious ramifications for the practice of medicine in the UK. So I think he had mentioned, he said, you know, I'll call them their name, I just can't call them their pronoun, because maybe it got kind of awkward to say Sue, hey Sue, hey Miss Sue, or whatever. I don't know, but they caught him and fired him.
Yeah.
Well, and let me just clue our people in case they think this can't get any crazier. Their medical professionals, even in this country, are beginning to, this is as bizarre as it gets, are beginning to lay down standards for gynecologists. Okay, now I'm assuming that the adults,
use your imagination,
the adults understand what I'm talking about here.
Right.
That gynecologists must be comfortable with giving exams to trans women, which are men who believe they're women and thus want to go to a gynecologist. That's how nutty it's getting. And they are telling gynecologists, you must be comfortable with and be educated about transgender men's unique healthcare needs and issues. I'm looking at one page right here. So how bizarre is that? If you're a gynecologist, I'm sorry I keep saying it, folks, on the air, but
it's a profession.
It's a profession.
It's an honorable profession, in
you,
fact.
You are a doctor in that profession, and the nurse
says, dude comes in
your
dress.
Next patient, her name is Elizabeth, and she, air quotes, comes in, and it's obviously a dude. And you go, excuse me? And you say, my name's Elizabeth, and I'm here for my exam. I mean,
if you don't act like he's a woman,
bingo.
Then you lose your job.
You might get censured or lose your job. I mean, this is insanity on a level I never dreamed possible outside of the Twilight Zone.
You know, 20 years ago, this would have been a Saturday Night Live skit.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And
now people
would have been
losing
rolling
jobs
in
over.
The aisles laughing
right.
about it.
By the way, to our listeners who just heard me say all that, you're welcome. I'm sure I just ruined half your day.
All the restaurants around are not going to have lunch customers because everybody's too sick to eat. I want to play some sound for you. This is a report from...
Like from nature or what?
No.
A report from nature, you mean?
No, sounds of nature.
Oh. No, sounds.
I think we need something soothing after these.
Maybe.
I could use that.
Like that. Maybe a waterfall, Steve?
I don't have one of those. Maybe you can ask Brent. He's in charge of the sound.
I'd like to listen to the Russian national anthem.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Go on. Let's go on.
This is CBS reporter Kate Smith, who for a month or so has been reporting on an abortion clinic that is being built near St. Louis, actually across the state line in Illinois. And it was built in secret because Planned Parenthood didn't want anybody to know what it was about. Listen to this report, and I'd like to get your thoughts on it. This is Cut 8.
In recent months, states across the South and Midwest, they've been implementing stricter and stricter anti-abortion laws. But this new clinic is in Illinois, where the state is moving in the opposite direction.
So this is the site of our brand new building here in Illinois.
We first visited the new clinic in August. The sensitive project was being built in secret under the code name Alaska. Dr. Colleen McNicholas showed us around.
We know that our colleagues at other Planned Parenthoods and independent abortion clinics across the country have had difficulty opening new clinics. Things as simple as getting the phone company to come in and put phone and data lines, things like the cabinet makers not showing up to deliver once they knew that that facility was going to be an abortion facility.
The 18,000 square foot building cost nearly $7 million to build. Planned Parenthood estimates the new office can handle up to 11,000 patients a year. The clinic is only miles from the Missouri border. It's positioned to accommodate patients from nearby states with strict abortion laws.
11,000 dead babies a year at this place, and they're building it in secret, codenamed Alaska, because they don't want anybody to know what they're doing.
Well, first, the only silver lining I see in this story is the fact that Planned Parenthood sometimes has trouble getting buildings finished. I'm happy to hear that cabinet makers won't show up once they find out it's an abortion mill.
Right.
But that's the only silver lining I can see in this. 11,000 babies a year will perish in this abortuary.
Also, Missouri is almost completely pro-life.
Yes.
Completely abortion-free. I think they have one abortion facility, and it's in St. Louis, and it's the one that's been in the news.
Yeah.
So that's to their, you know, we need the pro-life community in Missouri has done an outstanding job in their state. So they, but they're doing, because the St. Louis is on the river there and across the rivers, Illinois, they're building one over there to try to get people from Missouri to come over there, I guess.
Oh, this is explicitly why they're doing it. Right. Because there's no Illinois towns that are that big to need an 11,000, death chamber.
Right.
Abortuary, as you say.
Go ahead. Next story.
That wasn't the kind of soothing
story
I wanted to hear.
All right, well, this isn't exactly soothing, but let me at least give you some indication that there is some resistance. The other side is resisting. You know how we always kind of say, you know, Republicans don't fight like Democrats. They don't, you know,
say that
all this
sometimes.
Mob and everything. I want you to hear what happened. This is just about only about 10 seconds when Elizabeth Warren flew into the Reno, Nevada airport. She was greeted by some people, and this is what it sounded like. Cut 9.
Stop the impeachment! Stop the impeachment! Don't impeach!
That's 10 seconds. She was followed out to her car. The whole video is like a minute or two long. From the minute she got out of security all the way to her car, these people were in her face holding Trump Pence 2020 signs and yelling at her. I think they were, what do they call it? Maxine watering her. Watersing her. Maxine
Waters. Yeah. In other words, confronting,
wherever they go. They were doing that.
Yeah. And I'll just say, I don't like people doing that, even if they're Trump supporters. I don't like harassment. I know.
Well, then I didn't.
No, I just, because now it may come to the place where both sides are doing that. But I don't know. I don't have to have an opinion on everything.
I thought I was going to soothe him, Tim. I thought he was going to.
Well, that's wrong.
That was a fail. To your point, Brother Ed.
Yes.
On this, I agree with you. That I think the average American out there does not like to see even politicians physically confronted
or intimidated,
shouting in your face type thing. I don't mind protesters at her event standing
I'm
out
with you on that.
If they want to stand out with Trump signs and demonstrate, you know, lawfully. Within the bounds of, you know.
Right.
But you start physically getting, I mean, it can get dangerous. It can get out of hand. And I just think, quite frankly, I just think it's rude. I think that's the way most Americans feel, regardless of their politics.
Because we all know.
So it looks bad.
Everybody has a certain personal space. Nobody likes you to come in that personal space. Whatever it is, you know, kind of keep your distance. And if you're approaching someone with an angry look on your face and you're shouting,
right,
rude is a good way of putting it. Most people go, look, that's not what we want our politics to be.
Well, and the left in this country, they don't have a problem with that. That's how they behave. That's how they act, to a large extent. And that's what Maxine Waters encouraged, right? Physically confront. Didn't she say?
Yes.
Go and confront them at the gas station.
Push back.
So that's what they advocate. I do think that hurts the Democrats. Not all Democrats are for that, but the hard left. Certainly, they practice these kinds of things. Go ahead.
Now you have another chance. You have something.
Maybe birds singing. Or
the only other
kittens?
Piece that I really let me look over my shot
what
sheet
do
here again.
You talking about soft purring?
Just a story about kittens.
Oh, a story
being
about
rescued.
Kittens.
The other story about puppies.
The other story I had for you, and we probably will have to because we're getting more time than stories if I don't do this. President Trump is finally, I think, feeling some pressure. You know how he's been kind of above it all with this? I mean, he certainly lashes out in his Twitter feed, but he's almost been like he's been playing with them.
Yeah.
Yesterday at this press conference, he lit into a reporter from Reuters named Jeff Mason. And it really, by all accounts, Jeff Mason may be a liberal bent, but is a serious reporter and has been fair to the president. I want you to hear, this is a minute, I want you to hear what President Trump, this interaction between President Trump and Jeff Mason.
Made sure that the language is appropriate for
language
right,
is appropriate. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
And those countries should pay more to help Ukraine. Yeah. Ask a question, please.
Thank you, sir.
What did you want to look into on Biden?
Look, Biden and his son are stone cold crooked, and you know it. His son walks out with millions of dollars. The kid knows nothing. You know it, and so do we. Go ahead, ask a question.
But the question, sir, was what did you want President Zelensky to do about Vice President Biden and his son, Hunter?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, it was just a follow-up of what I just asked you, sir.
Listen, you ready? We have the president of Finland. Ask him a question.
I have one for him. I just wanted to follow up on the one that I asked you, which
was,
what
did you hear
me?
Yes, ask him a question.
I will. But
I've given you a long answer. Ask this gentleman a question. Don't be rude.
No, sir. I don't want to be rude. I just wanted you to have a chance to answer the question that I asked
you. I've answered everything. It's a whole hoax. And you know who's playing into the hoax? People like you.
He's getting the Acosta treatment right there.
I think President Trump's getting a little edgy.
I think so.
Listen, how can you blame the guy?
I know. Yeah.
But here's the thing. And now I say this as a person who at one time with a full-time job did a little bit of, as a minister, did a little bit of substitute teaching in a local junior high school. And I always kept my cool because I always knew substitute teachers, once the kids find out, they can light you off like a rocket and get you going. They'll do it. And if President Trump gives the impression to these reporters that if they push far enough, he'll lose it. They're only going to push more.
Right.
Because it makes for great television or radio in their minds.
I don't know what these news outlets are going to do when President Trump is no longer in office. I mean, you talk about ratings tanking. Huh? All right. We shall see you tomorrow, everybody. Trivia Friday tomorrow. So join us back here then.